A long time ago, there was etiquette. Formal rules that explained everything from which fork to use to what topics to discuss in polite company. Or so we've heard. Today, there is no etiquette in this world, and yet etiquette is required. How many messages should it take to set up a meeting? When you start seeing a new therapist, how do you talk about it with your first therapist whom you are still seeing? Welcome to No Etiquette, the podcast where we address modern etiquette questions in a nonsense fashion. I'm Vivian Lee, coming to you from Singapore, and joining me on the line is my best friend Sophia Bose in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Vivian. How are you?
I dislike that question very much, but I have an update for you. Several weeks ago, I bought a large piece of cheese from IKEA.
Ah, yes, I remember. What is the progress on this cheese?
This cheese, which was over a kilogram when I bought it, is maybe like 60% depleted now. You really wanted updates on this cheese, which, by the way, has no rind. So it is entirely cheese. Yeah, I think I forgot to take pictures for a while, but I've just been whacking away at this piece of cheese, making progress on this big, big piece of cheese. It's been good. I've had grilled cheese. I have had, sometimes I put it on like spaghetti and meatballs. There was one day I had a little more oomph in myself and I tried to make like a mac and cheese sauce.
Oh, and?
Yeah, I did it. I did it. Yeah.
Oh.
I did not just try. I did it. It was good.
Wait. I want more information. Like, how was it?
Oh, so, okay. I would say my mom makes the best mac and cheese I've ever had. And this is,
really?
I will explain why. Because she puts garlic in the mac and cheese. My Chinese mom puts garlic in everything, which I also do. I really, you know, it's kind of like a cliche, but like everything is better with garlic. But I do think it is rare to see garlic in mac and cheese. Mm. They seem to come from opposite worlds.
Yes.
That so,
delicious.
Yeah. Growing up, my mom would make mac and cheese with like, and you know, we have a shared love for this, but you know, just like the most processed cheese slices, right? Like whatever the brand is of like the simplest, just cheese slices and like, I think some milk and some butter, but she always started by frying a little garlic, just like a light fry. And so like every time I had mac and cheese for the rest of my life, I'd be like, something is wrong. Something is a little missing, you know, not terrible, but just like this doesn't taste the same.
Like,
and one day I watched my mom making it. One day I watched my mom make, and I like the other kind too. I think while we're reminiscing, probably the best mac and cheese I've, there's like two kinds. There's the really good mac and cheese where people use like three or four kinds of real cheese, like Gruyere, or, you know, like really like nice cheeses. And like, no matter what happens, you'll have a good tasting mac and cheese, right? Because you've, so that's one kind. And then the other kind is just like your most, you know, your most whatever cheese, your most whatever. But there was a place in New Orleans where a friend and I went on vacation, and very near our place, there was this phenomenal, it was just a bar, you know, but all the food was so good everywhere in New Orleans, but it was just like a neighborhood bar, and they had this mac and cheese with fried onions on top.
That sounds delicious.
And like, fried onions are not even my favorite thing, and I would never have expected them to go so well on mac and cheese. But this was so good that despite, we like ate ourselves silly every day, and we went back twice. We wanted to go back three times to this. This mac and cheese was so good.
Oh,
but I think
it
was closed the last time. Yeah.
This is making me wonder what the mac and cheese would be like if it had garlic and fried onions.
I almost wonder, so I think because if you fry the onion, it, like, I like the taste of onions, but I find it a bit different from the mac and cheese, kind of. So I think the frying takes out some of the oniony. I wonder if the garlic and the onions would overload, or maybe it would just be the greatest invention of all time. That's possible.
It could be, you know.
That is entirely possible. Yeah.
The processed cheese sliced mac and cheese, though, sounds very appealing, and it will be my dinner.
Ooh.
I'm going to make it because I do have processed American cheese, milk, and pasta. It shall happen.
Do you have garlic? Are you ready to try?
I have garlic powder.
Garlic powder is not the same.
It's not the same.
I must be a snob about garlic powder.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine. Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Well, then I'll have to wait then.
Yeah. I don't want to be such a like, ooh, you have to chop the garlic. But I do think, as someone who only grew up with garlic and not garlic powder, the first time I tried garlic powder, I was appalled. But I think if you have always had garlic powder, I do sound
I was appalled also when I first tried it, because I also did not grow up with garlic powder. In fact, I didn't believe it was a real thing. And when I saw it, I was like, this can't possibly. And then I realized if you put a lot of it, yes, it'll taste somewhat like garlic.
It'll approximate.
It'll approximate.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But it doesn't. I can see that, but it tastes like garlic powder rather than garlic. I think that's maybe where the best you can say for garlic powder.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I will leave it to you what you want to do with your mac and cheese. But listeners, if you have the opportunity to fry just a little bit of garlic lightly, you don't want to get it to like brown. You just want to really just like aromatic the garlic. But so that will change your mac and cheese life. I promise you.
Thank you so much, Vivian. This is great life news, or life tip,
yeah, life hack. I look forward
to hearing knowledge, wisdom, something.
I'm excited to hear how your mac and cheese dinner goes. It is such a good, like, it's one of those where, like, if as long as you have the ingredients, you can have it at any time. Yes. To me, that's an important element in comfort food. I know it's not for everybody, but ease of making a thing is like factored very highly into comfort level of food.
You know, I agree with you. And at this point in my life, I have started to feel this way about coffee as well.
Which,
you know, I used to be like an ardent, I don't even know if hater is a good word. It was very passionate. I really disliked like Keurig or Nespresso or like, you know, all those little like pods that you put in the instant coffee situation. Okay. You know, instant coffee, either be it powder or like, you know, a Keurig or, you know, I just couldn't, I just didn't, I was, I had a lot of it growing up and it was a sort of reaction to that. However, I have gotten to the point where I will now relish it simply because it is easy. This brings me to my promised update, which is I saw the man, the coffee person who, you know, from that catering event.
Yeah. Several episodes ago, dear listeners. Take note.
Yes. Several episodes ago, I was hosting an event and a very kind, I suppose he was like the manager of the kitchen or something, came up to me several times during the event and reminded me that he had just filled the coffee. And at one point, he told my boss at the end of the event, I wasn't there, that he had filled the coffee and that I would understand. And my boss told me and I did understand. And it was very funny. And so... This was like last week or something. I had to go into that building for something. Like, I don't remember what it was, but I was entering the building where it hosted that event. And it was like a random time too. It was like 4 p.m. or something. And I saw this man, the caterer. He was there. And it was one of those moments where you see someone's face and neither of you know each other's names, but you've had a shared experience together. And so we both smiled very broadly at one another. And that was it. Like we just, it was just like a frank, innocent, wholehearted smile. No words were exchanged, but we both understood. We were both thinking of the coffee. We were both laughing a little at me and my all caps. The coffee needs to be filled at all times, all times.
And I think the verdict we arrived at was he was like, kind of not making fun of you, but having a little fun, right? Of just like impish, she wants there to be coffee. I will tell her there was coffee. Yeah.
I think that we were right.
That seems like a kind of like in the catering industry, you don't want to prank people, but you want to like, I don't know. It's a way of, he was reassuring you, but having a little bit of a laugh at the same time, right? And now you kind of both acknowledge that.
Absolutely. I think so. It's been a good conclusion to this story.
Do you think it'll be the same event next year, right? It'll happen again?
Yes, it'll happen again. I don't know if it'll be the same person, but if it is, I am very excited to see him. And I hope he continues to give me coffee updates, even though he doesn't have to.
Aww.
It'll be like an inside joke. It'll be great.
That's what it is now. It is an inside joke. And I do like that it was so, you both just understood. Like no words have ever been exchanged, which I guess is the nature of a joke. Like you just, you both get it. And it has been acknowledged. Yes. And there it is. Oh, coffee. What an important item. Coffee must be full. Coffee must be full. And the people who refill the coffee deserve our gratitude for them making it easy for us to have coffee. That is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is time for us to turn to other etiquette topics. And today, our topic and our listener question are kind of rolled into one, which is nice. Mm-hmm. So let me give some background. So I was talking to my friend Silas about this podcast and kind of asking him, you know, what etiquette questions do you have? And he raised a good one that I think kind of telescopes out into a bigger topic. Mm-hmm. And we'll see which order we want to take them in. But he goes, what do you do if you go out with a group of friends and you have agreed to go Dutch and you end up footing the bill, you know, maybe because one person pays the bill and that's easiest. How do you remind the other people to pay you back? And I think where this telescopes out is, I think our bigger topic is, what is the way to remind someone of a thing they said that they would do? But I like starting with the question, the specific asking people to pay you back when you have made the, you know, you've said that you would. I think that is one of the most common and like one of the stickiest situations to be in.
Well, I have a question for you here, Vivian.
Okay.
Which is, please. The agreements to go Dutch made over text, or was there some sort of group chain involved? How did that agreement happen?
I don't, I would have to ask for Silas specs, but I think I can imagine the most common situation I can imagine is we're all at lunch together. We're all friends or something, right? Or colleagues or something. Somewhere where you're kind of equal status. No one is sitting at the head of the table, as we've discussed previously.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so there's no reason or expectation for any one person to foot the bill, right? It's not someone's birthday. It's not a special occasion. And so maybe you kind of look around and everybody goes like, you know, I'll pay for my own or something, right? Like I don't think you do it verbally over text. It's rare that I think that you do it over text unless you're, I don't know, it's a date or something but I would imagine everyone sitting around the table, it's like, okay, we're all paying for our own. And, but it's the kind of restaurant where, it's very common here. I don't see it as much in the U.S. because they have to bring you the bill and then you have to put the tip down and everything, right? So your server has to bring it to you.
Yeah.
But what's increasingly common here is you do the ordering. Sometimes you even do the whole order via QR code or something.
And I see.
You usually take the bill or you just go to the counter and you pay it at the counter, almost fast food style, but like you've also sat down. And what this does is it cuts down on the manpower to bring you the bill. And there's no tipping here, so that's not an issue.
Okay.
So it is pretty, it's pretty common. Sometimes the bill is automatically split if you're doing it QR code style.
Yeah,
but sometimes one person, and they don't, it's very rare that people will split the bill for you here because of the, right, that it's one person just gets it and they pay the other person back. People wouldn't split the bill for you here. It can be done, but it's like a real pain.
Yeah,
so it's kind of a pain to ask for it as opposed to like standard, easy. I feel in the US it's pretty easy to be like, can you split this two ways or can you split it? If you want to be a jerk, can you split it five? Whatever, right? But it is so, I think, pretty common for one person to pay and everybody to pay them back. And it's easy to do now with like automatic transfer. But the reminding of people. So that's a long answer to your how was it agreed that people.
That
would
is
go
such a good question that Silas had, because this is a true, like this etiquette, this comes up, doesn't it? Like this is
all the time.
This comes up all the time.
And it's always the most responsible person who pays the bill. They just go up and do it. And the least responsible people are the ones who have to be asked for their money.
Yeah. Oh man. You know, this whole thing is so contextual, right? So if it's a work thing, it's already paid for in some way or the other by like that's not as much of an issue. So then let's say we're imagining that these are friends.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I would do. I don't know that this is what I would do though. I typically take pictures. Again, this is going to be very Sophia. I usually take pictures whenever there's some sort of group situation. I would probably have a text chain where I would put that picture and say, it was so great to see you guys. And the bill was X amount.
Very smooth.
And then I would put a emoji with the dollar eyes. Three of them, to be exact. Because
wait, three emojis with the dollar eyes?
Yes, after saying that. Because what it would do is it would explain that I was already feeling a little anxious about asking. Like, you know, it would do a good job.
Mm.
It would be the opposite of passive aggressive, you know? It would be so aggressive so as to be a tiny bit passive. Like, you really, you know.
Aggressive passive.
Aggressive passive. Uh-huh.
Okay, I have so many follow-up questions, but just to dig with this a little, what do you do if after you've sent that message, you still do not receive it from some people?
Then I would private message those some people with $3 sign eyes and a heart.
Oh. Okay, this is beautiful. So going kind of one by one, I think I love doing the photo is so smart because that, you're right, it's not like it disguises it, but you kind of... It's not such an overt ask for money, even though that is what it is. But yeah. you're doing it so graciously. Here's a photo. Everyone is happy to look at the photo. You're not like clickbaiting, luring people into paying you. You're doing both at the same time. So you're accomplishing two things. You're sharing the nice photo. That is a good, you know, that's a really good. I don't always take a group photo, but now I'll think about it more when I go out for a meal with people because it is useful. Afterwards,
yes, especially if it's so good if you want to, like, say there's somebody able that you want to talk with that you didn't have as much of a chance to talk with when you send out that picture. That's a good segue. You know, it's a great way to continue a conversation if need be.
That is a great way. And you know, if you're the most people are pretty good about taking the photo fast, right? It's not a huge interruption to your meal, and then everyone has the. I think most people don't love. Some people love taking photos. Many people are not that excited to take a photo, but people are happy to have a photo afterwards, right?
They are.
Even if it's not, you know, they're not going to keep it forever, but it's like, oh, you can kind of remember that moment. And you attach it to the ask, you send the bill, you send the... I thought when you were beginning the story, I thought what you were going to say is you take a picture of the bill and send it, which is what I usually do.
Oh, like, that's
not even aggressive passive. It is simply an ask.
I think that's a great way to do it.
It's not as what's the word here? Gracious or not quite as. It's not as smooth. I don't know. The way you've done it is like so well mannered. It's like, oh wow. But yeah, I have often just taken a picture of the bill. Which sometimes is, you know, it's practical because then everyone has the amount. And if you need to split the tax or the tip or something, it's all there and there's no disputing it. And like, I'll actually often ask the person paying to take a picture and just send the picture because I think it's a quick way and it assures them that I'm going to pay them back.
Yeah.
But I love that you send a group picture. And then I don't think I've ever in my life used the emoji with the dollar sign eyes. I've never thought of this as a use for it. Did you learn this from someone else?
No.
Because that's an emoji I've looked at and been like, what is the use for this, right? Like, is it like, I got a raise? Cha-ching.
Yes, exactly. Why not?
Well, but it's a way to ask for money politely.
Do it too, right?
Because it's humorous, right?
Yeah.
It's
like somehow de-escalate.
And I love that you use three. I almost never use three emojis in a row, but I do think it can communicate. It says, I'm a little anxious about making this request or saying this to you, so I'm trying to soften it a little with the triple emoji.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like one emoji wouldn't do, no.
No. And I love that the follow-up ask for you is the dollar sign eyes and the heart, because this is a nice example of how the meaning of the heart changes very much depending on what the heart is used with.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an aggressive heart a little. Like, not super aggressive, but it's a hey heart, right? It's like the dollar sign emoji on its own has not worked. Let me remind you of a relational obligation you have to me through this heart emoji.
That is lovely. I didn't actually think of it as that. I was thinking of it as more like, I love you and give me the money. You know, like... Like, I'm not mad at you, or like, you know, just trying to convey that, just trying to convey, I just want the money. You are still dear. I just want my money.
It's not, I'm too angry at you, right?
Yes, exactly.
Because whenever someone has not paid someone back, you know, unless they've just forgotten, which we'll get to, but they know the other person is not, they've done a not very good thing. And maybe the reminder the heart, like, I still love you, is what coaxes someone over the threshold of paying the money back. You're asking even more nicely. You're PMing, but you're not escalating your frustration or anger in the hopes that this will get you a better outcome, right?
Yeah.
I think I'm just comparing the ways I do is I feel so uncouth by comparison. I think first there was a time in my life, which I hope I am past, where I would feel so bad or weird about asking for the money back because you don't want to seem petty. And again, it's how much you've agreed in your relationships with these people, but it can be very awkward and it can feel like, rightly or wrongly, asking for your money back is going to, I don't know, worsen the relationship or something, right? There's no reason why it should, except that sometimes people are.
Yeah.
And I think the trade-off is if you think, well, if I find out that this is a person who is going to try to get away with not paying me back, then it's better to find out and then not hang out with this person again, right? Like, you're not getting anything worse out of forcing the issue, confronting the issue.
Yeah.
But I think there was a while I would just kind of, you know, especially before online transfers were so easy with, you know, Venmo or Zelle or something, it feels so like you're going to go after this person for this. And sometimes people, rightly or wrongly, have a sense that they will pay you back some other way. Like, another way is like, oh, you know, I haven't paid you back. Sometimes people will, the next time you see them, will be like, oh, I didn't get you back for this lunch. Let me get this thing. And I think some people prefer to do it that way. And I've been reading some theories of when people write about the societal functions of debt, there is a school of thought that says it is better to keep up owing small favors to people so that you have a reason to maintain your relationships. And this was easier before cash money, where, I mean, this is the theory, right? Like, I lend you 2 eggs, you lend me a cup of sugar because you have sugar and I make eggs or something. You know, I have a chicken that makes the eggs. But, this idea that you maintain relationships through reciprocity and that if you were to perfectly repay someone, it is an insult culturally because it implies I want to have nothing else to do with you. This is one theory of debt.
Wow. I really like
that. I like it in principle, but as like a person from cash economies, I just want my cash back. To me, it actually is like the best expression of friendship. Like, I, you know, recently became friends with this person, and one of the things that most put him in my good books was he paid me back so fast without being prompted. And I think he even paid me back. We went to see a friend who was in a play. He was in Rent. And it was kind of a funny story where we wanted to get this guy flowers, but it was not really in an area of town where there was a florist. We didn't have a whole lot of hope about finding a flower shop. And amazingly, we went for lunch and we came out of this mall that none of us was very familiar with. And there was this flower vending machine.
Wow.
Which I see them around town sometimes. I know, but it was such an amazing, it was this real middle of nowhere. It was like the back entrance of the mall. And it is the kind of flower vending machine that I think the interior is a little air conditioned to keep the flowers. And it's kind of funny, the flowers came with this card and a little marker so you could write. It is designed for the last minute gift giver, but it was in such a strange area. It's, you know, I can imagine if this machine were close to like your typical performing arts. Anyway, it was a miracle and we rejoiced, but man, I hope this guy never listens, but those flowers were expensive. I think he knows if your vending machine flowers are going dear. And the whole group, I paid for it and the whole group was very sweet. And I think I may have sent the amount because people wanted, I didn't get any problems, but one guy paid me back so fast. I think he even gave me a little extra, you know, maybe like a dollar or something. Yeah. And I don't expect this, but it was such a good gesture. Like, he rose so high in my estimation, and he is never, you know, he remains there. This is not like but it just, to me, it spoke so well of his character that he paid me back so fast. So that's how I feel about it in this modern economy.
Yeah, you know, I think it's so, it is one of those things where I think you have to get it, you have to have a sense of the person. So I'm part of a friends group that are, I guess, slightly older than me. And, you know, most of them have children, and maybe once a month or so we'll get together. And what I've noticed happens is in a situation where one person is paying for everyone, initially We would have sort of that WhatsApp exchange like I just described, you know, like someone sends a picture of an amount and then you pay it off. And then over time, what started happening is people wouldn't pay each other back. It's just understood that like the next time, like it would sort of rotate. And
sure.
And like, you know, there isn't a very, you know, most of the times we're eating around the same place or, you know, the cost wouldn't vary too much. Right. And so I think so that evolved, but that was over time. And I also don't know if that's something everybody's comfortable with. It just sort of happened. Right. Yeah. So I think that your way is better because, yeah, you don't always know what someone is feeling about it.
In your group of friends, though, is it the case that everyone is also kind of incurring about the same expense? Like, is one family much bigger than the others?
And they're all, someone, it's all
like ordering beer. Yeah. It's all about the same. Okay. Yeah. That helps.
That helps. It's all, yeah. So there is some contextual, you know, etiquette, but
yeah, no, it's very much. And I think I would not feel at all bad about reminding a close friend.
Yeah.
You know, or I would already know that I would get paid back in some fashion, or even, you know, maybe if you're really close, like it doesn't matter so much, right? It's, you know, and I mean, it's different if you really need the money back. Yeah. And so, like, there's no shame or anything in that if the exact amount is important to get back. But the reminding is hard. Like, I can think of a time recently where I was with some people and I didn't know them very well. And so I did the less gracious thing of, like, I think I sent the receipt and then someone still didn't pay me back. So I PM'd that person and I'm realizing, like, gosh, like, lie a lot. I guess I think I'm like, oh, like, you know, I think maybe I was like, did you not know this was my number? Or like, is there some trouble with the transfer? Like, I was trying to do that, like, fakey, pretending there's some.
Too. I mean, there's some etiquette to that.
Maybe. I mean, it was kind of like a, I think maybe what I was trying to signal is I want to give you some benefit of the doubt. Maybe you just forgot. Maybe I don't really think this, but maybe there's some issue that's preventing it. And I think with like one or two follow-ups, this person paid me back in full and it was not an issue. But I guess it was lovely. I think I was proud of myself because I felt resentful enough of not getting paid back for no reason. You know, not a big amount, but kind of a like, and I knew it would hang over the rest of our relationship, right? If I always thought of this person as one time we went for ramen and they didn't give me my money back.
Yeah. You know, Vivian, I like your receipt picture thing because here's the deal. You know, the WhatsApp, like, you know, taking a group photo and, you know, the dollars sent, you know, that can work in one way. But also if you're a really busy person and you're just, you know, like maybe you're not like, maybe you're just like seeing a picture, you know, you're not, you're, and maybe a bunch of people message that, right? Like, I think having a, like, the receipt, it's very clear that that's what it is. And it sort of gets it out of the way. You know, you just do the thing. And then when you remind them and the way you asked, it, you know, like, did you not get the right number? You know, sometimes a person doesn't have the right number, right? So, like, I think it's a great, maybe you didn't necessarily mean it, but it also covers all the bases because sometimes, genuinely, a person might not have the right information. And so I'm very impressed with your etiquette there. I would say it's high etiquette.
It is providing an actionable pathway, but I will admit that my motives are curmudgeonly.
It doesn't matter what your motives are. Your motives have
my feelings. My inner feelings.
No. Does not matter what you thought.
Well, this is the whole invention of cash money, right? Like, you can now take your feelings fully out of it.
There you go. Exactly. You're not making eggs, which would be so funny if somebody actually did find a way. I mean, that would be incredible.
But this is a good segue, I think, to the larger question of, and I, you know, have we discussed everything with selling this stuff? I think we're pretty clear, right? You ask for your money back, you do it in some fashion, you know.
Either way works, right? Just a picture of the receipt.
Either way works, yeah. I do think there are some people in my life who much prefer what you and your friends do to pay for the next one. And I think I'll allow that if I can tell where, like, a friend did this to me recently, not did this to me, but said it. I tried to pay and she said, oh, you know, well, And it was clear, like, you know, you can just get the next one. And I really liked that because it was a sign that she wanted to do it again, right?
Yeah.
And I got to remember to do this. Aww. But she was so, it was like, the money is not that important to me, right? Like, that's the signal. The money is not the most important thing. I'd rather let's just keep having this friendship. Get the next one. It's not a big deal.
I really like that, actually.
It was generously done. And I think she read the context well of like, we're very happy to do this again and the next person will just get it.
I like this.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a fine line, right? Because you want to convey to somebody that your relationship is more than a dollar value. But in the case where it is not, you want to get your dollar value back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you want to lay that foundation first. If you want to be generous about it, you want to know that this is a... A person.
No, I think it's important.
Will not owe you money.
Yeah. I think it's a necessary component relationship.
Yeah, you don't want to. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Silas, maybe that answers some of your questions. Maybe it doesn't. I'm glad he asked it because it certainly comes up and in all kinds of contexts and in all kinds of permutations. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it just stinks to feel like you've been taken advantage of in some way. Where you were not offering to buy someone's meal and have ended up doing it.
And then have to do all the sort of administrative work to get your money back.
Yeah, I mean, that is a pain. Yeah, you do, like, that. It is an extra burden on that person. Yeah. So, you know what, the really high etiquette thing is just, if it's a situation where you pay people back, pay people back.
Yeah.
And that goes to our topic of reminding people to do something that they said they would do, right? Or like, and in this case, we're presuming that an agreement has been had and it's not a hidden expectation.
Yes.
Start with, how are you at doing things without being reminded to do them? And start with some self-knowledge.
If we're doing something for someone else, this is a hard one for me. I have a poor memory, actually. Mm-hmm. So I think I will very much benefit from this conversation. I have this notebook. I don't even know if you could call it a notebook. It's like a notepad. And every day I use a new page of it just for notes of the day. So like what I want to do.
I've never seen this.
Yeah, you've never seen this. Maybe you have though. It may have been in the corner of it. Like you'll recognize it when I show it to you. But you may have seen it in the side of something. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really thick, it's unlined, it's like the plainest thing, and the sheets themselves are this like sort of silky, like soft, but not, they're great to write on. It's like not that bright white that hurts your eyes. It's kind of a perfect paper. But yeah, every morning I'll that'll be the page on which, if I have a note I need to make about the day, it goes on there. And so typically if there's something I need to do that day, anything that needs to be done, it'll go on there. And then the following day, I refer back to see if that thing has been done or not, or I move it over. So that is how I do it.
Sounds like, in the best case scenario, someone asks you to do something, you assume responsibility, you write it down, and then you check back if you've done it. Mm-hmm. Therefore, compensating for memory and not requiring a reminder. You're like taking the initiative, right? So that the other person doesn't have to remind you.
Yes. And sometimes if I know that the thing is not going to happen for a while, I'll send a preemptive message saying, I'm aware I have not done this thing and I am working on this thing.
Got it.
I also
do. So your way of, your solution is sort of like, once told, you're trying to avoid the situation where the other person has to remind you, right? Whether you've done it or not.
Yes. What about you? What would you do?
I think kind of similar in that what I'll try to do is make a note. And I used to use kind of like a, you know, book organizer for this kind of thing. Now I just put a note on my phone. I have like the Google Keep app, and that's pretty, I look at that pretty regularly. I think I have two ways. If it's really like immediate, like that day I must do it, I'll usually put in a note and I'll usually see it. But a trick I learned from someone back in college, this is one of the busiest people I knew, and I asked him, how do you remember stuff? Because he would be really good. What I remembered about him, he was really good about check-ins and follow-ups with people, especially after you thought the interaction was done. He was really, it seemed to me, he was like magical about circling back. And I said, how do you do it? Yeah. And he said he puts it on his calendar at a later date.
That's
so
nice.
He just sets it way off in the future. And so I'll do that if, so same, like if it's, I'm not going to do it right away, but I want to make sure I do it, I'll put several later calendar things. And it means I have a lot of calendar things, but it's just a way of reminding yourself. That's what you're doing, right? You're reminding yourself so that someone else doesn't have to remind you.
Yeah.
Ideal. This is the ideal situation. But I will say, as I was thinking about this topic, there are times when I will just forget it. And you know, it's exactly like what you're saying with that photo thing. If I'm really busy and someone says something to me and I don't immediately write it down or I don't immediately do it, I will forget it. And I'll need to be reminded, or I'll, you know, I'll apologize. But like, I'm realizing that sometimes I'll tell somebody like, can you, and I don't think it's right to be like, can you tell me again? Can you remind me later? I don't like it when people ask for a reminder, because then you're pushing it back to the other person.
Yeah.
But I'll sometimes be like, I'm so sorry, I'm in the middle of this. Can you either ask me later or remind, or like, if I can't write it down for whatever reason, right? Like maybe, okay, example, like say you're driving and someone asks you for something and you can't write it down just that second. So I'll either be like, can you just remind me when we get out, or like I'll try to remember it later. But like, I just acknowledge to the other person that I really might forget because I can't put it down just the second. And I'll try to, I try to start where I am with it.
I really like that. I have a colleague who likes to, whenever he does this, it's not very often, but when he does, he'll say, can you keep me honest? And somehow I always found that to be, it's so old-fashioned, right? So it's very charming.
It's a sweet way of asking for it. Because so this is the reminding thing, right? And I think what, I really don't like it when you insist that the other person, right? Like, I think your colleague's doing it in an okay way. And he's not asking for it all the time, right?
Yeah, only sometimes.
But to me, when you've asked a thing, it's up to the other person to remember it within a reasonable, you know.
Yeah.
But let's turn to a case where, you know, for whatever reason, you need to remind someone. Maybe they forgot. Maybe they're always like this. Maybe, you know, maybe it's an unusual circumstance. Maybe they have a lot on their plate. What are some situations and ways to remind somebody of something they said they would do? And maybe let me lead by describing a system you mentioned to me, which is the file cabinet. Literally. But we were talking about this earlier, where we had this, you came up with this great theory that like in your mind palace inside yourself, there is, I think you called it the file cabinet, right? Like there's the filing cabinet. Say the filing cabinet is, I will do this next week. And you're in your mind palace and you get a note, you know, you get a piece of paper that's like, I don't know, like buy groceries. And what you have to do is you have to put this in the filing cabinet that says next week, I will do this. Internally, you put it in the filing cabinet. And there are some people, and we ourselves are among them at times, but they just can't put it in the file cabinet. They're standing there holding the page. You know, they're holding many pages probably. And for whatever reason, they just can't put it in the file cabinet.
Yeah, there are people like this. My friend Jay, primarily. I don't think anything lives inside of a filing cabinet. For him, you know, I think one must find ways to compensate, right? I think one must have awareness that one have a filing cabinet. That's the first step.
You have awareness, so you go, okay, I'm the kind of person who often fails to do something when I'm asked to do it. Why is that, right? Like you want to do that thing where you're curious instead of just like, oh, I'm such an idiot, I can't ever do this. But there has to be some steps in between I get the request and I put it in the file cabinet.
Yes.
You know, or whatever it is in your brain, if it's not a file cabinet, but just like the gap between I have received this and I am executing this must be crossed in some ways.
I agree with you. I like your method of using Google Notes or some sort of technology solution, you know, because like a notebook, I can't carry that little notebook with me everywhere. So there's often times where, you know, I'll just not write the thing down. And so it'll be as though it didn't happen, you know? So, but if you're using like your phone and, you know, I think that that's a good solution.
It's reminding me that what I used to do when I was a lot younger, if I didn't have the notebook, is I would just write it on my hand. And I kind of enjoyed that.
I love that.
It just has to be something you have with you and will refer yes. back to, right? This is why the Google Keep really notes sometimes that. Backfires, frankly, because either a note gets buried or I just forget yes. to look, even though it's the main thing in the middle of my screen, and that's why I'm hoping I'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of things one can do in the self-reminding category,
yes.
right? And maybe it's, you know, but setting aside again, right? Like a thing you can do with someone is help them build self-reminding habits. But I'm trying to think of ways, we were talking about the file cabinet. I can think of some friends who they have trouble putting it in the file cabinet sometimes. And then they get a secondary problem if they start to feel very guilty that they haven't put it in the file cabinet. So sometimes they'll even perfectly well, they'll remember that you asked them to do such and such, and then just can't do it for whatever reason. It's not that they've forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even necessarily that they're procrastinating in some way, but there's some internal resistance.
Yeah.
So that the reminding them is not even the issue. Or they remember, but you still have to remind them because the thing hasn't been done.
You know, I think, okay, so this is something I've thought about in the context of scheduling something with friends, say. I've realized if you're trying to schedule something and it's not working out, maybe that person is just not in the place. Like, even if they think that they're in the place, they might just not be in the place. And so, like, if I've reminded them, like, say I've reminded them twice, in the second reminder, I think I'd say something like, and, you know, don't feel bad if XYZ, but we're going to have to change something, right? So it's either we can come back to this in a couple of weeks or something. But you have
greater awareness that the reminding, and in this case, you give up on the thing happening, right? Yeah. Like, that's one way out.
That's one way out, giving up.
That's one way out. You give up. Giving up is...
Yeah.
There's always that option.
I think there's the giving.
I'm trying to think of how I do it if I really have to. And, you know, say, I think it's easier in a work situation because you have some common understanding and there's consequences that don't have to come from you. It's worse in a relationship because the consequences are from you, right?
If you're really relying
on someone to do something. Somehow with work, it's a little more cut and dried. You can be like, you know, this has to be done by this deadline.
It's not personal, right? Yeah, there's a bigger organizational reason for the thing to happen.
Yeah. And of course, in a relationship, it can be a relational reason. So I'm trying to think of what I've done beyond just frequent. I think I, you know, where possible, try to have some version of the conversation you had without giving up necessarily, but saying something like, you know, again, this is my disingenuous, right? Is there something I can do to help you remember this or something? When I'm really kind of asking.
I'm going to interrupt you, Vivian, because I love that question. I will say, because, you know, I'm realizing while we talk, I am the person who needs to be reminded a lot, in fact. Like, I do think
And so am I should say.
I think
no one's perfect. No one's perfect.
Oh, no. But I'm on the other extreme, you know? Like, I get regularly, like, 100-plus emails from the library saying I need to return XYZ book. They'll send so many reminders. They're quite good about them. They'll send them at 5 a.m. at odd times. There's no reason around when they send them. Like, it'll alternate days. It's a whole thing. But what I'm, like, yeah, no, I'm not sure what I was going to say now. I got very carried away with the library memory because I've been recently getting texts from them.
Well, two things. First, I was saying, like, I'll like do that pretending thing where I'll say, how can I help you remember?
I was saying, I love that. I actually think that for somebody, say there's somebody who's just not good at the remembering, like they want to feel held through whatever they're going through, right? So if they're not able to do whatever reason, I don't know, they're supposed to book a ticket for something and they're not doing it. Like, there's probably some strange mental block. But at this point, it's psychological, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think they would love, I think people really appreciate just even that gesture, even if you don't mean it, because yes. I think this falls into the category of good lies.
Good lies. Well, I think something you're getting at, which I hadn't thought about, is it's a supportive gesture. You know, it's not, someone is expecting maybe to be nagged at or scolded or criticized, and they already have enough of that going on in their head. And, you know, ideally it's the kind of supportive gesture that then empowers that person to do it themselves.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what it can do is, and I think I have this with avoidance, like maybe I don't forget to do, I'll probably get to the thing, but sometimes I have a lot of internal resistance. And I have a work check-in friend every day. We're in totally different jobs, but we check in with each other every day, almost. And we've borrowed this analogy, this metaphor we read in, I think, some kind of New York Times article, where someone said on her team, she calls it eating the frog. Maybe you've heard this. Maybe we've used this. But she and her team will identify every day what the most difficult thing is, right? For whatever reason. It can be psychological entirely. But they'll say, this is the most thing we're most not willing to do. And then we acknowledge it and we feel better that it's been acknowledged. And then we go eat the frog and we're very proud if we've eaten the frog for the day. And we'll try and eat the frog. I mean, there's ways to do it. Some people eat the frog first, some people do it later, but what you're doing is you're helping the other person recognize what it is that's bothering them, which sometimes is a service that we need, right? Sometimes you're really not doing a thing because you just, like, you know, we were talking about this. We are going on a vacation soon. And I realized I was doing some research, but I was not doing any of the research on fairies because I get seasick. That one was pretty clear to me that that was the reason why I wasn't doing that piece. But sometimes the reason why you don't do something is, and it can be really complex, right? It could, you know.
Yeah, there's no way of knowing. there's too many factors.
So I think what we're hearing is, and it does put an additional burden on the other person, but maybe there's an empowering way besides simply reminding the other person. So this is what the library thing made me think of. I think we're in an unfortunate time of, like, notification reminder fatigue, right?
This is true.
It really actually kind of makes me mad sometimes when people will ask for a reminder because, you know, like, it, I think during COVID, it was a little bit of, you could go both ways. Like, I think it was good to be reminded sometimes of when you had a Zoom meeting, you know, even if it was an automatic notification because everybody was so unmoored from their schedule. But that's kind of carried over. And sometimes people expect a reminder of things that they should just remind themselves of, right? And they're getting so many, what I think it ticks me off when people are like, you know, I need a reminder, but don't email me. I don't look at my email. I need you to text me a reminder or something, right? It gets so specific. But I think it is a problem where we're being reminded of certain things so much that it like cancels itself out after a point. Yes. Just the reminding alone does not serve the purpose.
Yes, you're right. It's a really good point. It's a very good point.
Can you think of a time in conclusion where someone has either reminded you to do something or, you know, prompted you in a way that helped you make that connection yourself? Like a time someone reminded you well.
No, you know, I think like what you had said earlier, you know, like that sort of empowering way. Like, I think that's super helpful. Like, I think, I'm trying to think the last time that actually happened.
This is funny. We need to be reminded of when we were reminded. I think this sums up modern life.
That is where we're at.
I can't even think of a specific example, but I do, as I'm thinking of this, I think there has to be something to the ability to be reminded of something in a way that doesn't activate your guilt or your feeling criticized or something, right? Like, that can be a motivator in some ways, but it's a drag, right? Like, in a better scenario, you're simply reminded, you're moved to action, the purpose is fulfilled, and you haven't needed to make someone feel bad about themselves in order to get it done. In a really lovely scenario.
You are right. I think I'm thinking about the mac and cheese I'm gonna have right now because it has suddenly taken over my stomach. I don't even quite understand.
Well said. There's no reminder like a mac and cheese reminder. And so on that note, Silas, I hope we've helped you. Listeners, if you have a story about a time you were reminded well or a way that you have magically prompted someone into action, we would love to hear from you. Please send us your questions or comments or reminders at noetiquettepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next time right here on No Etiquette. And until then, it is good etiquette to take a quick, subtle photo at your gathering in case you need to use it to remind someone of something else later on, if only of the moment you shared fondly together. We will see you next time.
Good night.